I love you. That's the title, John. I love you. I asked David to sing that song because of those words. Every time you read about Calvary, you should hear heaven crying out to you, I love you. I love you. John chapter 3, verse 16, one verse. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Good to see each one of you. Good to see this church filling up again. We've had some rough weeks there with all of sickness, and we're still not out of it, but praise God. We're glad to see each one of you today. Ruthie, they start building that temple. I'm going to be shouting. You know what's in my heart? By the way, I'm looking into it right now. I shouldn't probably say it until I have. But if the Lord doesn't come back within the next year, I'm going to try to work on taking a trip to Israel. How many would like to go to Israel? I'm just curious. I'll see. I'm gonna look into it. Boy, I tell you, I'd love to go to the Philippines, but I told Brother Art and them, before I go to the Philippines, and I love the Filipinos, I'd love them beyond the shadow of a doubt. And I'd love to go to, we support over 35 missionaries in the Philippines alone. I'd sure like to go see where my Savior was crucified. Yes. I'd sure like to walk. I'm gonna preach about Jerusalem tonight. You know, Jerusalem, there's 60 to 70 times there's different names referred to Jerusalem. One's called the City of God. It's an everlasting city. It's a place where our Savior died and arose for us. Wouldn't it be great to walk there? Wouldn't it be great to see, go to Bethlehem and see where he was born or in the area? How many are still with me? I'd like to see the Sea of Galilee and all the different, I'd like to see everything I preach about. I'd like to see it. That's, if there was one thing close in my heart, and I told Rosie, I think my heart would say, I'd like to take a trip to Israel. I'm going to be in Israel when, Wes, we're all going to, we that are saved, when the rapture comes, we're all going up with him. And then 7 years later, we're all going back down, and we'll be in Israel then. Yeah. That's when he sets his kingdom up. But I'd like to see it beforehand. Amen. So I'm looking at something right now. I'm going to talk to some preachers to see if they know how to. I'd like to get a group of people and go to Israel. I really would. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, but sell a couple cars. I don't know. Have some baked goods or something. Just do something. Wash some cars this summer. I don't know. Anyways, John 3:16. One verse, John 3:16. If you didn't get your pictures, we had pictures out there from the You Are Love banquet. Pick those up. They're on the table. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. See, there's always, when you love, there's always giving in love. You that are married, you ought to give yourself one to another in the fear of God, the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, I like that. Man, I'm glad that's in the Bible. That whosoever, that means anyone, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us. We who are unlovely, yet you still loved us. Lord, this is a little thought, a little message today. I pray you'll honor it and bless it. That's what I felt you put in my heart to bring today. I just pray now you'll help me be a blessing to the people. And today, if there's anyone here that's never really received your love, help them to grab hold of the love of God and the salvation of Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. And Father, I pray you'll be at that little boy, Danny. Lord, I just pray you help that little boy in that surgery right now. Please give those doctors wisdom. Lord, put your hands on those doctors' hands. Guide and direct their hands and help them to see what they're supposed to see. And I pray the little boy's surgery will be come through well and that he would recover. Continue to bless Truman and bless all our folks. Now we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Today is Valentine's Day, and this is a day for people like to express their love for one another. I went out and bought Rosie a dozen red roses and said, honey, I love you, and thank you for being my wife, and thank you for being such a great mom. And Valentine's just a day that you express yourself. You send flowers, or you bring, or you candy. And boy, we all love candy, don't we? And cards. We try to get those gushy gush cards and saying, I love you, honey, bushy bushy boom. And it's a, you know what I like about those cards? They're really words that we ought to be saying every day. You don't need a special day to tell your wife or your husband that you love them. And, but we love to hear those words. I love you. I like hearing those words. And I know you do from our spouse. I love you. I love you. I love it when I enjoy hearing my children say, Dad, I love you, Dad. And my grandkids will come up and say, I love you, Grandpa. Boy, I'll tell you, I just want to give them a five spot and say, thank you. Yeah. But we love to hear those words. Even if he is trying to bribe me. Yeah. We love hearing those words. I love you. We really do. We really do. I love you. Even from our Christian friend. Boy, I love you, brother. I love you. We love, we enjoy, we entreat those words, those three words. I love you. You know, and I do this every year at the You Are Love banquet. I wore my badge today. Most of you think that's a sweetheart banquet, but it's really not a sweetheart. Well, it's for all adults, because we always focus on not the love of one another. I always try to focus about the love of Christ. Most of you have been there several years. Every year, I'm not losing my mind. Every year at the You Are Love banquet, I talk about how I found this sticker. And I rehearse. Every year, Mark, I rehearse. Next year, again, you'll hear preachers say, back in 1989, I was in Toledo, Ohio, or 19, you know, whatever it was, and I was in the Christian bookstore, and I saw these little stickers that said, You Are Loved. And I bought 5 or 10 of them. And I just couldn't get over how it had a little heart, and it said, You are loved. And it just caught me. You are loved. You are loved. And I tell the story. Like every year I tell the story. The reason I tell it, I don't want you to forget it. And I'm driving the car. And most of you, just like, you know, I got saved and I only paid $110 for my furniture, you know. I got saved for an old green couch. You know that, don't you? Never going to let you forget it. And I said, and then it came to my heart, Billy, 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Amen. You see, the You Are Love banquet really is just to let people know that if they're single or married, it doesn't matter. You're loved. Amen. See, it's not really a couples. It was for the You Are Love banquet was designed just to let people know that God loves them. And then later I made these badges up, and then I put 1 John 4:10. I told you how I got those stickers, and I went back, drove back, bought the whole, there was over 500 stickers, and I put those stickers on the walls, on the ceilings, on the toilet seats, everywhere. I put them everywhere, inside the songbooks. I had stickers like this, Ken. It's just a badge, but a sticker's about that size. And I put 500 stickers all through that church building, Lighthouse Baptist Church. Because I wanted people to know that you are loved. Can I say this to you today? No matter what age you are, no matter what your marital status is, you are loved. Amen. You are loved. When you read John 3:16, you're hearing God say three words to you. I love you. When you read John 3:16, God says, I love you. I love you. And by the way, I like John 3:16. Because it says, for God so loved the world. And we live in the world, so he's got to be talking about us. And everybody else in the world. And then it goes, and whosoever will. That means no one's excluded. And so, no one is excluded. You're here today, you say, no one loves me. Oh, yeah. God loves you. You're not, by the way, you're not the source of his love. You're the object of his love. He loves you. When Jesus left the splendor and glory of heaven, he came to this sin-cursed earth for one reason, to let you know, I love you. When Jesus gave up the praise and adoration of all the angels and the heavenly hosts of heaven, he did it for one reason, so you would know those three words, I love you. I love you. When Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. The reason he did, he wanted to tell you those three words. Christ wants you to know something. Jesus says to you today, I love you. Over and over, Jesus says to you and I love you. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. I love you. I love you. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us. Aren't you glad he loves you today? I love you. I love you. Heaven's crying out today. The glories of heaven's calling out to you. Hey, you down on planet Earth, I love you. Hey, you that's discouraged and maybe depressed, I love you. Hey, you that are hurting deep inside, I love you. Hey, you that think there's no hope anymore, I want you to know something. I love you. In John chapter 4, remember Jesus met the lady at the well? And he says that in John chapter 4, verse 25 to 29. He told this lady all about her life. He knew all about her. And he saved her. You know why? He loved her. You know what? Eddie, he knows all about you and I. And even though he knows all about us, he still loves us. Can anyone say amen? Amen. In John chapter 6, verse 10 through 14, when Jesus fed the 5,000 hungry people and plus their families, could have been up to 20, 25,000 people, seven loaves of bread and two small fishes. The reason he did that, just like Jesus cared about those and those people and their needs, can I say something? He fed them because he was saying to them, when he fed those people, Brother Bobby, he was saying, I love you. Today, when you have some of your needs met, just know this. There's a God in heaven that's saying, just like I fed those and just like I cared about their needs, because I love them, I want you to know something. I love you. I love you. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 24, when Jesus calmed the storm for the disciples, remember there was a great storm? They said, Master, don't you care if we perish? There's a lot of times, Miss Mert, there's a lot of times our life seems like we're distressed, seems like our ship's going to go under, seems like how many of you remember where life is overwhelming, where you're just stressed out, and you just don't think there's any hope? Everybody been like that? And the Bible says, you just calm the seas. In essence, what Jesus was saying, don't worry. You're going to be all right, because I love you. I'll calm the sea and I'll calm the waves and I'll get you to the other side because I love you. Boy, that's something when you think about that. When you read in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, that the blind man, old Bartimaeus, I remember blind Bartimaeus, and he heard Jesus was coming down the road and he said, Son of David, Son of David! Have mercy on me! Jesus stopped. And the Bible says, he said to old blind Bartimaeus, he said, what would you have me to do for you? And he said, that I might see. And there God opened up his that man that was blind, he opened up his eyes so he could see. You ever think about this? You ever think about blind Bartimaeus? He never saw a sunset. He never saw a bird fly in the sky. He never saw a beautiful rose. He might have been able to smell them, but he couldn't see them. Think with me. Think with me. He never saw, Mike, that blind Bartimaeus, all his life he walked in darkness. He lived in darkness. Are you thinking with preacher right now? Indeed, I really believe with my heart, Bible doesn't say it, but I believe this with all my heart, when, and we'll ask him when we get there to heaven, Brother Mike, I believe when blind Bartimaeus received his sight, I personally believe the first thing he saw, I believe his eyes looked into the eyes of Jesus. Amen. I believe that, Billy. And the Bible says that Jesus was God. And the Bible said that God is love. Sergeant Gutiver, can you imagine this man who never saw the sunset or a rose or a bird or anything? The first thing he saw when he received his sight, he saw the eyes of Christ and he saw love. Because, Kelly, God is love. Amen? Amen? He knew what the truth of that song was that we sing now. Jesus loves me.
Yep.
This I know. For the Bible tells me. And he saw love. And you know what? Jesus didn't have to say to him, I love you. He saw it from expression. Amen? In Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus took Barabbas' place, Barabbas was a murderer. He was a rioter. Barabbas was supposed to be put to death. Pilate was trying to get Jesus off the hook. He said, hey, we can release a prisoner. Once a year we release a prisoner. Would you want us to release Jesus, the King of the Jews, or Barabbas? People said, give us Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! Crucify Jesus! And there, Jesus took the murderer's place. You see, Jesus died in the place of that murderer. See, Jesus took the thief's place. He took the sinner's place. He took the one that was guilty's place. You know why he did that for Barabbas? Because he loved him. You know why he took our place on Calvary's cross? Because he loves you, Kenny. He loves you. When they took Jesus in Matthew 27, verse 26, when they took Jesus and beat him and mocked him, spit in his face, plucked his beard, and the Bible says they took a scourge. And that scourge was a big, long whip. It had glass and metal, usually like 9 lashes on it. And they would lash him. And the lashes, the leather strips would go around the person's body. And then they pull back. And when they would lash him, those metal spikes and pieces that were on the strip, they would embed into the body. And then when they pull back, Brother Andrew, the literal flesh would be ripped off. They said that they lashed Christ and pulled back. Lashed Christ and pulled back. Lashed Christ. And for 39 times, they lashed him. And his body was completely, completely ripped open. Matter of fact, the Bible says, and scourging was so great, and you can check history on this, 25% of the people that were scourged, one out of four, the scourging was so great that most people died before they ever got him to be crucified. That's how horrific. By the way, when they show pictures of Jesus with little dots of blood on his hand, and, now don't believe that. Before he got to his cross, his body was completely immersed in blood. And I'm not trying to make, but folks, he was like ground up hamburger. His whole body, the Bible says in Isaiah 52:14, says his body was more than the son. No man has ever taken the punishment like Christ did. You know why he did it? I love you. You know what he was saying to you and I? I let him scourge me. I let him beat me. I let him pluck my beard out. I let him spit on my face because one thing. I love you. I love you. And they took him to Calvary's cross and they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And there he hung on the cross for 6 hours. From 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, for 6 hours there, he suffered. He even cried out. He suffered so much because the Bible says he became our sin. God made him be sin for us. He didn't know no sin. For one reason, so we could be made the righteousness of God in him. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Never forsook Noah in the ark. Never forsook Daniel in the lion's den. I'm your only begotten son. Why'd you forsake? He had to forsake him. Isaiah said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Isaiah 53:10. He put him to grief. You know what, folks? Look up here. I hope when you read about, we got Easter coming up, the Resurrection Sunday coming up in a few months. I hope that you get something from that. More than the Easter bunny. And by the way, I love chocolate candy. I love those marshmallows. I love, I'm not supposed to eat them anymore, but I sure love them. I'm not against the candy, man. I think it's great. It's got nothing to do with the resurrection. But Chuck, when he suffered and died 6 hours on the cross, he was saying one thing. I love you. He was saying to Chuck and Kelly Shackelford, I love you. I love you. See his arms open? I love you. You're here today, I want to tell you something. Christ loves you. Don't forget that love. In Matthew 23:33, when Jesus was crucified between the two thieves, he was dying. He was saying, I love you. I love you. And those, by the way, did you notice those two men? They pictured the whole world. Those two men, Jesus was dying for all people. One man realized that Christ loved him and was dying for him, the one thief. And he said, remember me today. And Jesus, he said, remember me when you come in the kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be in paradise with me. That man received the love of God. The other man said, hey, if you're who you said you are, get me off this cross. He didn't give a flip about Jesus loving him. He didn't give a flip about Jesus dying for him. He just wanted to get off that cross.
Right.
That's a picture of the whole world. You see, even though Christ was dying, was Christ dying for both those men? Yes. Did Christ love both those men equally? Yes. Did his love do anything? Did that love that he had for those men help both of them? Only the one. Because the man that was helped was the one that received it. It was there for both. Both men could have received the love, but only one had enough sense to take it. You know, look up here. You can go through life and you can know the story. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. And you can we can sing He Loves You and all the songs that are great songs that we know about. But until you realize like that thief on the cross, hey, He loves me. He died for me. He suffered for me because He loves me. He's doing this because He loves me. And embrace Him. Wow. See, that's the trouble. You go through life knowing it, but you don't embrace it. If I want to give Brother Mark a brand new car, say, Brother Mark, I got the keys of a brand new Chevrolet outside, an Impala, 2010 Chevy Impala, and all you got to do is take the keys. You can drive off on it. Unless he took the keys, unless he received those keys, it wouldn't do him any good. Oh, I don't believe you. Walk away. The car would still be there, but he'd be walking. How many are still with me? Well, Jesus' gift is far greater than a 2010 Chevy Impala. But it's a way I can get you to think with me. It's not enough to know about Jesus. You have to embrace him into your heart. He does love you. He'll always love you. But until you receive that love, you forfeit what he's done for you. He's dying on that cross. And you know what he's saying, Brian? I love you. I love you. Look at Calvary's cross. Every time you see it, Ryan, when you see Jesus on the cross, just say one thing. He's saying to Ryan, I love you. I love you. Isn't that exciting? Once some man said, if I was the only sinner in the world, he would have died, and I believe that. See, when he died on the cross, he died for all, but he was dying personally for every one of us individually because he loves us. When Jesus rose that third day from the grave in Matthew 28, 2 through 6, when he rose from the grave that third day, he was saying, oh, I know the ground shook and the stone rolled back and up from the grave he arose. He's alive, hallelujah, I'm glad he's alive. But you know what he was saying, Bobby? I rose because I love you. You know, if he didn't raise from the grave, we'd have no hope. But he loves us, and he rose from that grave. In John 14, verse 1 through 3, he says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. How many glad there's a heaven? Amen. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive to myself that where I am, there you may be also. You know why he said that? Because he loves you. You know why he's preparing a place for you? Because he loves you. You know why he's coming back? Because I love you, he says. I love you. I love you. I love you. He's constantly telling us he loves us. How often do we tell him, I love you? Hey, Christian, today on what we call Sweetheart Day, I can just see Jesus giving out those little candy hearts. I want you. Or would you be mine? I died for you because I loved you. I came from heaven because I loved you. Could you imagine his little candy kisses? Think about this. How often do we tell him I love you? I wonder today if we'll take a few minutes and tell Christ, I love you. Lord, on this sweet day that we show our affection and love, I want to show it to you more than anybody. Lord, I love you. I wonder how many Christians will tell Christ today that they love him. By the way, though, it doesn't matter if we tell him, he still loves us. Yes. Isn't that great? How often do we tell others? How often do we tell others about his love? If we really love him, we want to tell others. How many did we tell this week? How many did we tell last week? How many, if you really believe he loves you and you love him, how many people will you tell this week about his love? In closing, in John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we? If we really love him, do we keep his commandments? Do we really follow what he wants us to do? Are we faithful in what he asks us to do? How much do we really love him? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's more than just the Ten Commandments. We're not saved by the Ten Commandments. They were only given to show us that we needed Christ. It was a schoolmaster. And they were only given till Jesus was born, till Christ should come. But he gives them some. Look up here, church. I'm almost done. I want us to think about this today. He does love us. How do we express our love to him? We express our love by living for him. You want to prove, you want to show Jesus you love him? Live for him. If you want to show Jesus you love him, live for him. Avoid sin. The Bible says, flee from evil and flee from sin. Don't willingly just do stuff. We do things that we know God says, no, no, no. Yet we say, I don't care. I'm going to do it. I don't care. I'm going to do it. That's not loving God. In John chapter 21, Jesus asked Peter three times in verse 15, 16, and 17, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Peter, lovest thou me? Boy, after the third time, boy, Peter was saying, Lord, you got me. You know me. I wonder today if Jesus asked that question, if he asked that same question to you and I. If Jesus asked that same question to you and I, lovest thou me? How would we answer that question? Think about it. Lovest thou me? What would be the answer? You know, Jesus cries out today, I love you. I love you. The question is not if he really loves us. He's proved his love. Do we really love him? Does he see our love for him? Do we speak to him and tell him that we love him? Does he hear us say, I love you. I love you. I almost had Mark sing this song. I'm just going to read the last verse. It's called The Love of God. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, and you couldn't, if you took all the ocean, made it ink, you couldn't write the love, the greatness of love, God's love. You wouldn't have enough ocean to write it. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. I wonder, he loves you today. Heaven cries out today, I love you. I love you. You know, I said something earlier, and I'm going to close with this very thought. On February 14th, Nat, Grandpa said to Grandma, I love you. Will you marry me? He said, yes, but you'd have to ask my dad. Your dad was a big man. He was John Cockrell. And I remember walking in there and saying, Mr. Cockrell, I want to get your permission. But I really do love Rosie. I really love her with all my heart. And I'd like to marry her. Would you allow me to marry her? He said, I suspect. By the way, I didn't preach it today. That's a special day when you get married. By the way, Adam, the reason Adam sinned, the Bible says in Romans 5:14 that Adam was a figure of him to come. Adam was a figure of Jesus to come. The way Adam was a figure of Jesus to come, how was Adam like Jesus? Because Adam, when Eve sinned, Adam knew she was going to die. And Adam openly partook of his bride's sin in the Garden of Eden because he loved his bride so much. And then 4,000 years later, at Calvary,
Jesus, the last Adam, loved his bride so much that he openly partook of our sin and died for us. I'm glad to be married to Christ.
Amen.
I'm glad that I have a bride called Rosie. We've been married over 40 years. I'm glad 41 years ago she said yes and her dad said yes. February 14th will always be special in my life because my bride said yes that day. And I'd say something. I told these kids. I had three couples getting married. And nobody gets married until they go through my counseling sessions. And there's three or four or how many I need if you need. One thing I stress with the kids, when you get married, you must know. And if you don't know this, I won't marry you. You must know that this woman that you're going to marry, that she is the exact one that God wants you to have. You just don't get married and say, I'm going to try it, and last for a couple, then throw it away. I said, unless you know 100% that this is the woman and that this is the man for you. See, I believe God ordained. Eddie, I believe God ordained me to be with Rosie. Because he loved me so much, he chose a bride for me.
Yes.
I believe that. Even when I see Rosie, I see the love of God. When she sees me, she sees the terror of God. Mercy and grace. You get a reward in heaven. He loves you, Dave. And showed Philip. The Bible says in Proverbs, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So that thing you guys are married to? Don't you call her a thing, though. God can get away with it. So there's specialness about February 14th. Let me leave you on this last thought about February 14th. It's the day I got engaged. Something else happened. On February 14th, 1989, my mom died. And I think about God's love on that day. My mama got cancer. She got down to about 65 pounds. I held her in my arms. She took her last breath. I'm so glad Jesus loves us. You could have seen her. If he didn't have her, I got to see my mom again. See, she was the same lady. You see, she had a goal. But Jesus was telling me that day, don't worry, son. You're going to get to see her again.
Amen.
I love you.
Amen.
There in Jesus' arms around me that day. That's all right with you. Your mom's with me now. I love you. I love you. You'll see her again. And when you see her again, she won't be sick. She'll be perfectly whole. So look up to me because I love you. I love you no matter what. In great joy or in great sadness, my love is always constant. He loves me. That's what Calvary says.
I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary says. I love you. I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary says. So on this day that we call Valentine's Day, remember the greatest heart and the greatest love was from Jesus Christ. No one had a heart like him. No one ever loved you like him. No one ever gave himself for you like him. And even today, in 2010, he cries out from heaven, "Preacher, tell them. Tell the people, I love you. I love you. I love you." Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. On this day that we set aside to express our gratitude and love, help us to think about the greatest love that's ever been shown, the greatest gift that's ever been given, the greatest card that was ever written, the Bible, the love letter. No greater love letter than the Bible. Thank you for loving us. Help us to love you. Help us to love you today. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today, how long has it been since you told Christ you loved him? Wonder how long it's been since you told Christ you love him. You know, today wouldn't be a bad day. Just come to the altar and say, "God, thank you for loving me and thank you for blessing me. Lord, I love you." And maybe you're today and you've never taken the love of Christ. The Bible says you must be born again to go to heaven. You must trust Christ as your Savior. Not enough to know about. You must ask him into your heart to be your Savior. In 1969, I got down from an old green couch. I was already a member of a Baptist church. I'd been baptized. But for the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner and I was going to hell. And I got down from this old green couch. I paid $110 for the couch and all the furniture. Rose and I had just been married a few months. I was supposed to be on my way to heaven, but I wasn't. I was supposed to be saved, but I wasn't. And the first time in my life, I realized Christ did die for me, and he loved me. And I needed him personally to get me to heaven, not religion or trying to be good. And I got down on my knees and I said, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. And Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Save my soul from hell and take me to heaven when I die." That day, Jesus came into my heart. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He saved me that day. And I realized then the great love of God. You'll never get it until you get Jesus in your heart. How many could say, "Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I've asked Christ to save me. I know I've got that love that passes all understanding." Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. Thank you. You may put him down. How many would say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I never realized that Christ loved me that much till today. I never realized I needed to invite him in my heart to save my soul. And I really do want, I don't want to be like that one thief on the cross that lost out. I realize that Jesus took my place on the cross like he did Barabbas. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm glad he took the sinner's place. He took your place. He took my place. You've never asked Christ to save you, but you'd like to know when you die, you'd go to heaven. You say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven." Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. "Oh, wait, Pastor, pray for me." I'm like, "Yes, I see that. God bless you." Who else? "Pastor, pray for me." Big crowd today. Let me look. "Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I need Christ as my Savior." Oh, let me encourage you to, if you've never asked Christ into your heart, trust him as your Savior. It's not religion. It's not being a member of Bethel Baptist Church. It's you and Christ, one-on-one, a personal thing. It's like if I came to your house and knocked on the door, and Jesus was knocking at the door of your house and saying, "Would you let me into your house?" You'd say, "Yeah, come on in, Jesus." Well, he wants into your heart. If you've never asked him into your heart, say, Lord, come into my life. Come into my heart. Save my soul. He'll do it. Father, I pray with all my heart. Today, people would show their love and get their love, get your love. Sad. That man on the cross was so close to heaven when he was with Christ, yet he died and went to hell. He could see heaven, but he didn't make it. He could feel the love of God, but he didn't receive it. And he died in a sinful state, and he died without the love that he could have got. I'm glad that I'm going to meet that one thief, though. He realized that he wasn't getting what he deserved, but he also realized that Jesus was truly the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and that he needed him to get to heaven. And I'm so glad that man today, because he trusted Christ as Savior, he's in heaven right now. I pray that there be people here today that's never trusted you, that they would know today that you love them and that they would receive your love. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. Maybe you'd just like to come and pray today. What page am I, Mark?
382.
382. You just come.